episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway, because their slogan is Gateway's. Stop laughing at me. Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean, Julie? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's what, Julie?
Got it. Gateway's got it.
When you log on to Gateway Buick, just gatewaygmc.com. That shows off to a great start. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as...
One, two, three.
One, select your offer. No. One, select your vehicle. Two, create your offer. Three, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers...
free car washes for life.
So when you want a dealer who has it all...
has it all.
Gateway's got it.
Gateway's got it.
You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade.
That's right. We actually just bought a truck from them, so I highly recommend as well. And a quick little shout out to our friends over at Golden Chick. If you haven't driven through a Golden Chick near you and ordered off their churro menu, make sure you do that. We've had a lot of churros floating around our house, and the kids, who knew? Kids love churros. They do. And if you
What's
order,
not to love?
I know. I just don't think about it for like a kid dessert.
Oh my God, it's so good.
My kids are now obsessed. But if you go through the Golden Chick near you, order some churros. 50 cents of that order is going to go back to a local elementary school in the surrounding area. And stay tuned, because we will have a lot more on Golden Chick and all the Golden Chick goodness, including some food taste testing on this very show. So make sure to pay attention. Thank you, Golden Chick.
Yeah. And welcome into the Coppola Studios for episode 247 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She's Julie Dobbs. I'm going to pop some Coppola Prosecco Rosé for us. I didn't even ask you if you wanted a drink this morning.
Usually you ask me.
Yeah.
But I think you knew that today was a day that we needed some.
We're celebrating the official start of the Christmas season.
Oh, I know.
It is go time.
I got to record this. And I always love a good champagne pop on the socials.
We're also celebrating the fact that Julie's husband's out of town for a week.
I can't put that on the socials. Shoot, I missed it.
We love our husbands.
I got it.
And I... we love our husbands. We love you, husbands. We love you so much. But sometimes... things just run a little smoother for short periods of time, you know, when you're solo parenting. And I think they would say the same thing about us. Maybe not.
No, they wouldn't. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so my thing
was... who's going to cook and clean and do the dishes?
Well, Mike does
tell them
cook.
What to do.
So Mike does cook, but he dirties every fucking dish in the house.
Oh my gosh, I have to talk about your social posts for Thanksgiving too.
Oh my gosh, okay.
We can get to that.
So my husband, my old ball and chain, he was going to go out of town the day after Thanksgiving to go fishing, and the weather wasn't good. I was like, I mean, clouds can burn off, honey. Weather can change down there on the coast in a flash.
You're really calling it all off?
I know, like... oh, did you check? He was like, the weather's not good. It's not worth going. I'm like, are you sure? Like... let's get the...
you couldn't just use a little alone time.
No, no. It was fun. It's a great Thanksgiving. But it's a lot of time.
It's a lot.
My kids were even gone for the first half of the break. Not the first half, the 3 nights in Graham with family, and then came back Thanksgiving. But it's just made so much time with Mike and I together.
Yeah.
Doing things and stuff and being around each other. I don't know. And then you get all... Christmas decoration thing. I mean, he's acting like I'm asking him to scale Mount Everest to bring down shit from the attic.
So, okay, I do want to dive into this a little bit with you.
Sorry.
Like, what a few days alone with Mike looks like. Like, because you probably have a lot of projects. We talked about how you actually were trying to come up with projects.
Didn't have a whole lot
of projects. So, like, do you have... Do you feel like you want to be doing things and like kind of having him like available to help you do the things, or do you try to relax, or neither, or both?
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. Like by Saturday, I was like texting my girlfriends. It's like, what can we do? Like, what can everybody tell her husbands? Like, let's get together and go grab a coldy and watch some football. Like, what can we do here? Like, it's just. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I have a hard time sitting still, as you know. And so it just turns into like me starting to do stuff. And then God bless my family. They've learned now we need to ask mom if she needs help. And then she's either going to reply yes, and then we're going to start to help. And then she's going to come back over everything we've done to help and do it her way. Or she's going to passively aggressively say no, and then be mumbling under her breath while she's doing said task. Uh-huh. This, my family knows this. They know me. This is what happens. But I tried to not be. Thanksgiving was great. We hosted. We had 25 people. It was awesome. You know, watched football. Food was awesome. Hurtado. Oh, my gosh.
Hers was insane.
The smoked turkey breast. And then this ham was ridiculous.
Really?
And the mac and cheese.
Oh, the mac and cheese was so good.
So good. We finished. It was a vat. It was so giant. Anyway, it was so good. Anyway, so we had a great Thanksgiving. And then I, you know, start to get a little stir crazy because I have hired somebody to come do my Christmas decorations. Huh. This is since we moved into the new house, and I have learned that I become a raging, compulsively obsessive decorating bitch. And so I'm like, this will just save everyone.
I think it's a thing that a lot of moms try to decide. Is it worth paying the people, or is it worth trying to do it myself?
Right.
I'm proud of you that you figured out that.
Well, and it's like I told my girlfriends, like, it's important to recognize your shortcomings and to hire someone to overcompensate for them, which is what I've done. So anyway, we had good family time. We played board games, and Clue was a big player over the Thanksgiving break, and we did have some good time. And then, but we started getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Like, you and Mike, like, played Clue?
We all played, the four of us.
Okay.
We weren't playing Clue by ourselves.
Well, then the kids left at one
they
point.
Did.
I wasn't sure. Okay.
So, but the first few days when the kids were gone, it was great. We did date night, and it was fun. We had a great time. And then I woke up on Thanksgiving. He's still there. And then the day after Thanksgiving.
Is your husband's kid?
No. I do love. He's the same thing. Like, even. So, yesterday, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel on Sunday. Because, like, right here we all are again. Hey, good to see you. And
it's like there's a reason we all go to work. Like, right. There's a reason we have jobs in school.
Yeah.
And then, we're not supposed to all just coexist, like, fucking bumps on a log for a week.
So then Mike was like, I mean, we've had a lot of time in this. I've been in this house a long time. What if we do family manicures and pedicures? And I'm like, what a cute idea.
That is.
So I get on or call, and I make appointments, need 4 manicures and 4 pedicures. We'll be there at 1 o'clock. So we get there at 1 o'clock, and they start working on Hattie and I. And then they said the boys decided they did not want to do pedicures. Henry was like, that's just weird. I can't believe you let people touch your feet. You're weird. What if they're going to put them on? There's some foot. He knows about a foot website.
He thinks that they're.
It's creepy.
Secret cameras.
Yes. And they're taking feet pictures. Whatever. Find a foot or something. How do you know they're not putting them on Find a Footer? I don't know.
Oh,
anyway.
Gosh.
And so we go, and they're working on Hattie and I's toes and whatever. And then the boys are literally, we met an appointment at 1:40. They're both still sitting there, and no one's come to give them a manicure. Mm. And so finally they just gave up and went to DSW next door. But we were all trying to find, you know, something.
Why didn't anyone come give them a manicure?
They were overwhelmed. They were in the weeds. Mm. And they should have told me that when I made the reservation. Mm. Like, hey, we can't do this.
You're like, I have these people that are giving this a try for the first time, and their experience is going to be sitting there waiting for their manis.
Anyway, and then.
That is a cute idea.
Yeah. And then we did go get our Christmas tree the day after Christmas, because we always do a live tree. So we did do that. Mm-hmm. Got it all set up. No decorations on it. And then the kids starting yesterday, we're starting to be like, so we're not going to do anything decorating for Christmas. And then I started getting guilty because I'm like, if they want to have the joy of Christmas, I need to give them the fucking joy of Christmas.
So you're paying the people to even decorate your tree?
Well, no, but I think she needs to do her stuff and then we'll do our, we have two trees, one. So I forgot how she did it last year.
Okay.
But anyway, so I got their trees. They each have a little tree in their room. Mm-hmm. So we got those out and they set up. They have a whole winter wonderland that they put out in the playroom. They got to do that. And then I did set up the trees. I just haven't put decorations on them. And then I got out our nativity scene and our giant deer.
Mm-hmm. That are in the front yard?
The ones, no yard art. Uh-huh. No, we have the trees with lights on them. But there's these big deer that sit on my dining room table.
Oh.
They're ceramic deer. I love them so much.
How long have you had these deer?
Oh, it's been a long time. Probably like 7.
They're reindeers?
Years. They're reindeer.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
Of my reindeer. So anyway, we did get some Christmas stuff in and then they'll decorate this week and then we'll fill in the holes.
Okay.
So I'll let you know that, I guess.
Yeah. Let us know.
Okay. Thanksgiving for you. How was it?
Well, it was great. It was good. We went to the ranch with the family and a plus one, Kelly's good friend who is going through a tough time with his marriage, end of marriage.
Oh.
And so, but it was kind of fun to have him there. I mean, he's great. He's funny. Yeah. He like kept it light, you know, because my brother and his wife and kids were with her side of the family.
Okay.
And there's just two of us. So like, that's our whole group, you know, and if he's not there, it's just like my family traveling and going to hang out with each other in a different place,
right,
with my mom and stepdad, you know, who are wonderful and all of that. But it's not like a big like, oh, we're seeing all these second cousins and people we haven't seen in forever. It used to be like that when I was growing up, and we'd be with my dad's side of the family too, but now it's just kind of this, you know, which is fine. So it was fun to have an extra person there. I actually like was last minute like inviting random people because I had the realization. I was like, this is just gonna be us. And like,
anybody want to come provide some levity?
Yeah. Like who wants to join me? Like I texted her friend like the day before. She's like, we have plans. I was like, okay, well, you know, and then another one I was trying to get to come down. It's a 4-hour drive. I couldn't sell her on it, you know, cause she could only stay for like one night or whatever. But it was fine. You need to have those like just chill, relaxed times, I think, like built in, which is why we have holidays. But at the same time, it is weird. Like it is weird and hard. Like it's weird to be slothing around a house like with no plans.
Yeah.
For that long.
I know.
You know, and like this one felt especially long. I think it felt like you got through it and then there was a weekend.
Yes.
So that was kind of weird. A weird feeling.
Which there always is because Thanksgiving's always on Thursday.
Maybe it was on the other side though, like but earlier.
I think too, because
why did it feel longer?
I don't know. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. It's a late Thanksgiving too.
We went Tuesday. So we kind of started ours earlier, I think, because I've always been working like and I couldn't leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think that's why. And Kelly's always, for Kelly, he was always working and he'd have a game like the day after Thanksgiving. He'd have a game 2 days before. It would always be really short for us.
Yeah.
So that's why in my world it felt long.
I'm sure it did. Well, and two, the fact that Thanksgiving was so late.
Yeah. Yes.
This year.
Everyone kept saying
because
that.
Because now it's like, December 2nd.
And now it's like, Thanksgiving's over and it is
23 days.
Go time.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally go time.
That's why
I mean, we're taping early this week because I have a luncheon on Tuesday. So we're taping on Monday. And it's by the time the show airs, it's going to be December 5th. It's going to be 20 days till Christmas by the time the show airs.
Same.
3 weeks. Less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just, it is crazy.
It is.
And it's a lot of time. I remember when we were growing up, I don't know if it was this way for you, but we got out like at noon on Wednesday before Thanksgiving and then you had Friday off, but it wasn't the whole week.
Right. That's the other reason it feels so long. It's just the whole week.
It's the whole week.
And it felt a little long in the moment, but then today sending people back to school felt like a little hard. Like I was ready to kind of get back in routine, but the kids were not.
Oh my God, I was so ready to get back in routine.
Yes, the kids were not ready to go back though and had all the complaint. Well, right. I have one kid. Do you have one kid that wakes up happy, one kid that wakes up mad, or do they both wake up similar?
They both wake up meh. Like they're not super excited, but they're also not, you know, miserable.
Yeah. Ryder's gotten worse, like where he wakes up groaning at life and doesn't want to go to school.
Yeah.
And then I started playing music in Anna's room and I heard her, like I'm walking up the stairs and she's singing along with the music. Like first thing when she wakes up and I go in and she's like just so chatty.
Let's
just dancing. She's singing. I'm like, you're awesome. Like,
yeah.
And then once he works through it, he's fine.
Yeah. But, I know. I popped out of bed at 5:45 and was like, let's get this party started. Let's get back in a routine. Get your asses to school.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they've got 14 days of school in between Thanksgiving break and Christmas break.
Oh my gosh.
And then we're looking at 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks off.
It's insanity.
It is.
Right? It's 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
It's a long fucking time.
It is.
But yeah, I'm excited because I'm one of those. I'm a holiday Nazi. Can I say that? Oh, please, I'm sorry.
You can say that. It's the okay. Mom game.
And I will not do any Christmas decorating. I will not consider it to be Christmas time until after Thanksgiving is.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
And I feel like we're in the minority the way it went this year. Like, because I mean, even just before we went out of town, with
I thought about it. Dude, well, we did get our lights put on our trees outside, but it was because I got a discount because he came early. But we didn't. I think we did turn them on early because I was too lazy to go unplug them. But whatever. But yeah, I feel like we are definitely. If I wasn't hosting Thanksgiving at my house,
yeah,
I definitely would have decorated early, just to have more
I know.
Time. You know,
it just feels too weird to me.
It like, does.
And we had a good Thanksgiving decor situation going on, and I wanted it to get its run.
Okay. See, I don't decorate for any holiday. We've talked about this other than Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also need to talk about. We'll talk about it in what's on your feed. We need to talk about like elves and.
Oh yeah.
And stuff. Okay.
It's big. It's a big discussion.
Okay. We have two guests coming up today. We have Michael Conradery. Oh my gosh. Why am I having such a
trying to say camaraderie.
Michael Conradery. Michael Conradery from the Cotton Bowl, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, which is part of the college football playoff this year, a semifinal game. And then Howard Terry from Golden Chick. They're just pulling back the curtain. We're not changing outfits into what we wore last week. He actually came in last week and brought us some wings and yeast rolls and churros.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be with us too.
Churros.
But so we've got
a great college football conversation too with Michael Conradery.
Yeah,
I mean, college football is heating up right now.
Yes, super good timing for this combo. Yes, great timing. But let's get the a few sports squirts knocked out of the way and then hit our feed and then bring in our guests.
Okay.
Sports Courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. Are you tired of wearing glasses? I know I was. That's why I got custom lens replacement from Tylock George Eye Care. It is one of many life-changing options the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George can offer. You can see your world clearly from both long distance and up close. No more readers, no more contacts, no more glasses, none of that. And for me, it was contact lens replacement. For Julie, it was LASIK. The young eyes usually do really well with the LASIK. I had that 17 years ago. It wore off. And so enter the custom lens replacement. Totally life-changing. We had a bonfire for the readers, Julie and I did. We actually didn't, but we did throw them away.
We should.
So yeah, if you are curious, even in the least bit, about your options as far as your vision is concerned, you should absolutely reach out to Tylock George today. You can go to tylock.com/TMG. Or give them a call, mention the mom game. They will take very, very good care of you. I promise.
Yes, we are so grateful to Tylock. I think about it at least once or five times a day.
Yeah.
I think about it all the time.
Like, especially like waking up, like, oh wait, I don't have to reach for my readers to look at my phone.
Mine's driving at night. Like, I could not drive at night without my glasses. And so I'd get in bad situations where I wouldn't have them. And I'd have to drive anyways and just like literally be blind.
Wasn't there times when you like would wear prescription sunglasses at night?
Because it helped me at least just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So to have all of that like stress gone and vision corrected is truly amazing.
Okay. Little quick hits on the sports scene. Cowboys, two in a row.
Two in a row, baby. We're back.
We're back. They won Thanksgiving Day against the Giants, who are terrible.
The terrible Giants, and it was really close.
It was really close.
Pretty close.
I know, but at least they're like fighting and they're not giving up. And
yeah, and Cooper Rush is looking pretty good.
He looked better.
Yeah, he looked better. I was very excited to see Drew Locke playing for New York.
Okay.
Because he's a Mizzou guy.
Okay.
And one of my good friends, her husband like trains him. And that's their guy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he had landed in New York. I knew New York, you know, had gotten rid of Daniel Jones and then I thought it was gonna be the DeVito cat.
Yep. But he got hurt.
He got hurt too. So then they were on their third string. Yeah. It was Drew Locke. And he looked pretty good. But yeah, it was, you know, I'm just grateful that the Cowboys do play on Thanksgiving because it gives you something to do besides lay there.
And they were entertaining.
And you can fall asleep.
I mean, it wasn't a beautiful game, but it was like, it was close. Like, you just, that's what we talked about all season. Like, I just want to be able to, like, have something to watch in the second half,
yeah.
Not the final score being a foregone conclusion.
And you don't want to lose it. Like, it was close. And then if you end up losing that game, that's like a total gut punch.
Yeah. And now I love the fact that there's three games. Mm-hmm. Like, there's three games on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh,
and I think that's effing phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
Yeah.
I totally
love it. Detroit played first. Detroit always plays on Thanksgiving Day, too. Yeah. The football just kept coming.
Yeah.
And then kept coming and then kept coming and then all weekend long. And then
Black Friday football. Yeah. Like,
and then it was almost like when NFL hit. Yesterday or Sunday,
I was exhausted.
It was like, wait, oh my gosh, there's
more games.
Yeah,
I know. How many teams does this league have, for the love?
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it on Thanksgiving and these holiday weekends is it's just like such a built-in excuse for the husbands and dads to do nothing.
As if they needed an excuse.
Like, what? I got to watch the game. Oh, there's another game.
Oh, but one more game.
And then when they like trick us even more and get their kids into it, oh, well, we're watching the game together. Oh,
it's family time.
It's bonding time. I'm like, bullshit. I'm going to sit and watch the game too.
What time do you guys eat Thanksgiving dinner?
We moved it. We always have to kind of do it around the Cowboys. So we moved it up this year. We ended up eating at like 1:30, I think.
Okay. That's when we eat. And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it because like all during the prep, you're getting, you know, you're watching the first game and then everyone eats at, you know, around 1:30 and then everybody, you know, is done by
the time
it starts. I did not nap.
Were there a lot of nappers in your house?
There was not
something
a
about
ton.
Thanksgiving. It's
I
like the
know.
Best nap.
Nap. I think there was too many people at my house to nap.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 25 people.
Oh, yeah.
That's so it's too many.
Everyone needs a cozy place.
Yeah.
I saw this great thread on X, and it was like someone who had everybody send pictures of their family napping into their account and was like retweeting it all. So it was just like these random like uncles, aunts, like dads, moms, everybody like coming up with a place to nap.
I know.
It was hilarious.
My dad was the king of that. My dad would just open mouth nap right in the middle of the living room.
Yep. Same.
I mean, it was something. I mean, there was no way my dad ever made it through, I don't think, an entire Cowboys game on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
But I feel like 1:30 is definitely it's like the perfect time. So I told everyone, come, you can be at my house anytime after 11:30. We're going to eat at 1:30. So that's what I give the parameters. Like, don't come too early because my shit's not going to be ready and I'm going to lose my mind. But don't come too late because this is what time we're leaving.
That's
and
good. Yeah.
Everyone kind of comes early and used to, and this started when I started hosting Thanksgiving, we didn't really drink. No one really had any cocktails at Thanksgiving. And then like the first year I hosted, I was like, and here's mimosas.
Wait, so at your house, or where was it before when no one would
drink? Before we would do it in Graham.
Okay.
At my
dad's it's always
house.
Just like at the host's discretion, I guess.
And then after that, my cousin Kim, when she does it at her house, same. It's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want to sound terrible, but it does like, when I'm cooking or getting ready, like I like to have a cocktail, like I like to have a, you know, little something, and it does take a little bit of the edge off, especially if you're stressed about hosting or being around awkward family people.
Right.
Our group's great. Like it's not ever awkward or drama or. And then Dawn came this year again.
I saw that.
Our sweet Dawn, biggest Rangers fan ever. She's a trip. And my family loves her. And
she was your person for levity, like my friend Kelly's friend Tom.
Yes.
You got to have a levity friend.
Levity provider.
All holiday occasions.
Dawn is there for that. But Dawn's so funny. Like the first time Dawn came to Thanksgiving, my kid, this was like five. This is me being progressive, as they call it, and probably going to get judged. But Dawn told them her whole story. We need to have Dawn on the mom game.
Sure.
We absolutely need to have Dawn on the mom game. I mean, about how she was in prison and that's how she became a Rangers fan. Like,
I don't know it.
Oh, yeah. She's a whole thing. Like, she has HIV, has been living with it for a number of years, is wonderful. Anyway, she has a whole ridiculously fascinating story. She's also very, she's such a good, just a good energy person, spiritual. And anyway, she's fantastic. But like, she just talks to my kids. Like, I mean, they know, you know, Miss Dawn, and they'll ask, like, oh, what did you go to prison for again? What did you, I mean, She answers it. She will give you her testimony.
Wow.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Anyway, so Dawn was there and she was great. And she's a huge Giants fan. So Henry, she brought a Giants t-shirt to change into. And then Henry went in his room and got a Cowboys t-shirt and put it on. And anyway, we had a...
Keeps it exciting.
We had a ton of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. So, okay. Well, back to sportsy things.
Back to sportsy things.
Sorry.
So that was our Cowboys talk. But the Cowboys did win.
They did win. Two in a row. I mean, 5-7. I mean,
and like Jerry said something about Mike McCarthy, like they're up for discussion on another contract. Like he said something just to keep the
But it's like talking. What's he supposed to say?
I'm
like, yeah, he's dead man walking. Like, I mean, we're gonna lock him up for 5 years.
That, right. But he could avoid it. Like you don't right. have to be like, yeah, we're gonna have discussions about contracts or whatever he said. I know.
God bless him. He just can't help himself.
No, he can't.
He can't help himself.
He's the levity person at his own Thanksgiving.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if you had Jerry Jones at your Thanksgiving? God.
He's so fun.
It would be amazing. I mean, he'd so
his wheels
I just,
off.
Oh, I hammered. Just envision him having like just it's a whole on your circle aunt. Around him. Just like telling his crazy ass yeah. stories.
Romo was a miracle.
And credit card got declined. $15 at 7-Eleven or whatever it was.
Oh my gosh.
He
stops at 7-Eleven for wine on the way.
Didn't he do that?
Yeah, he was like spotted what buying wine God? At the gas station.
Jerry, we will get you some Coppola. Stop at 7-Eleven? Jeez.
There's anything wrong with 7-Eleven.
Not
if you're listening.
Hey, love you, 7-Eleven. Just don't know about your wine selection. Everything else about you is great. Slurpees, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're called?
Oh, the Slurpees are. Oh yeah, the Slurpees are okay. killer.
Because there was an icy
Slurpee.
Small town icy.
Yeah,
icy was Allsup's. Allsup's was
stop and go burrito.
Dude, did you have you ever had Allsup's burritos?
No, but Pat Green sings about it.
Oh my God, they're so good. They're deep.
You okay?
Fried. They're deep fried
from the gas station.
Yes. Oh my God, college. It was on like neck bone.
Do you think that things that we loved in college were really good, or were we just like always drunk?
We were always drunk and we were disgusting.
And like hungry. Oh. We were always drunk and hungry.
Remember,
we didn't have much money.
Do you remember Totino's pizza rolls?
Oh, yeah. I know Totino's.
Oh, so good. And like you would know they were cooked just perfectly when like just a little.
Are you okay?
Just a little bit would ooze out.
Are you passing a kidney stone?
Oh, my God. Totino's pizza rolls, also yeah. burritos.
Yeah.
Dude, it's some good.
Mine was a little different in Missouri because I had all the Missouri brands that nobody will really know.
White Castle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was White Castle. There was a place called Gumby's that had pizza and like pokey sticks. The pokey sticks.
Oh, what are pokey sticks?
They were like cheesy bread, but they called them pokey sticks because it was Gumby like Gumby.
Oh.
That Gumby.
Oh, glad you clarified. I was unsure. Gumby. What's wrong with you?
I'm sad our kids don't have Gumby as a
high are school. You how fucking creepy that thing was.
He was so cute.
Gumby.
He had like he that horse like, friend.
Hold over. And then pop back up.
He was so cute though. His
what
little,
was
his
the
little,
horse's
like,
name?
I forget. Was it Pokey?
Was it?
It might have been Pokey, and that maybe was where the Pokey sticks came from.
Oh, was it?
I think it was Gumby and Pokey.
Genius marketing.
Right? And then my drunk ass was in there eating Pokey sticks like every single night.
No wonder you've got celiac disease now. You're just crushing ow. Pokey sticks. I'm
just kidding. Eating too many breadsticks doesn't cause celiac.
Okay. The more you know. Okay. There's the snort. Okay.
Gummy. It was great. He had like just that mouth. It was just like an outline.
Yeah, it was it was like claymation, wasn't it?
Yes, claymation.
God, we were so budget. Like just as kids. Like the shit that entertained us.
We should have another mom game experiment.
No.
We should play like a Gumby show for our kids now and see what,
so like, what their reaction is.
Yes. Like play. Like,
because now it's like you know, before it was like, hi, I'm Gumby and this is my friend Pokey. And then he would go down. Hold himself back up. So spare.
Oh, he was spare.
So spare.
But he was greatness.
At the time, it was. Oh, that's funny.
I'm going to love it.
Okay.
I'm being impression.
Okay. Okay. Two snorts. Two snorts, one show.
I've never heard you snort. And usually me.
Okay. All right. It's hot in here now.
It is hot.
Okay. What about the Stars in the match? I can't. Stars won against the Winnipeg Jets.
I was there.
Look
at
you.
I was there last night. It was so fun. And it actually...
Winnipeg's really good, right?
Winnipeg's really good. They're leading the Central Division, and the Stars beat them 3-1 with an empty netter. So really like 2-1. It was like super exciting.
Yeah.
And we sat in the front because of our friend, former nanny, now friend. She's got some great tickets and invited us. It's weird now because we don't really go, and Kelly doesn't really want to ask people for tickets. Like, I don't know. We just haven't. He hasn't asked anybody for tickets, even though I would love to go. I think he's not really there yet. So we were invited, and I was like, "Yeah, let's go. It'll be great." Yeah. So it's just the kids and I and her, and she has glass seats, which we never even used to do when he was working there. We didn't have glass seats, so it was just so much fun. And I was thinking, I was like, maybe it's probably a discussion for another show, but like best kid activities, sporting events in town.
Yeah.
You know, because it's right for me. It's just, and I know we're a little biased, but it's just right up there. It's just so fun.
And hockey's so much better in person.
It's so close.
Than
yeah.
It is on TV. Yeah.
It is. It's just so fun.
It's great on TV, but it's just so much better in person.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. So the Stars are doing really well. That was a big win for them, actually, that we were at. And now I think they're hitting the road. They're playing in Utah
tonight, I think.
Yeah. Tonight.
Back to back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was a really good win for them. And they have, you know, they're a little bit different than the team that I know, you know, that I was really following and covering. There's a few players that I was like, who's that? Like just a couple of new fill in the gaps kind of guys. But I just love how deep they are. They're so deep right now. And you've got guys like Jamie and Tyler, you know, like playing second, third line ice time and contributing in other ways, also getting on the score sheet. But then you've got all of these people like Mason Marchment, who had the game winner yesterday, and Matt Duchene is having a great season. Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, like they've got a lot of offensive weapons. And then Jake Ottinger is, you know, the heart and soul of the team. And when he's going, the team is going.
Yeah.
So it's just really fun to watch. And I just highly recommend taking your kids to a Stars game.
Yeah.
If you haven't. Yeah. Super fun.
Super fun. Well, and I love the whole, like, just the buy-in and the mentality of the team that, like, we talked about, you know, and I don't know jack squat about hockey. But the fact that like Jamie, Ben and Tyler Seguin, who are like the most tenured guys on there, the veterans, all that kind of stuff, that they're willing to take that kind of back seat a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they want to fucking win a championship.
Because they want to win.
They want to win a Stanley Cup.
And they know that the clock is ticking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Mavs are continuing to.
They're winning. Yeah.
And they were winning without Luka. Mm-hmm. And then Luka came back and then they kept winning.
So, and then they won again.
They seem to be good. Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing really well. And they have a lot of different contributors. And I think anytime Luke is out, I think it's kind of good for the team. You know, everybody
shows everybody what they can do.
Yeah. They spread the ball around a little bit more and everybody gets maybe that confidence up, especially since they were winning. And then he came back and hopefully it's a little bit of a different like mentality than before he left. But the fact that I think they had won like 5 in a row or something like that. They are on a bit of a win streak right now and things are going well. So I think now is maybe our alert to start following.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about like, it's like if they got to earn it because they made us, they're making us change the channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then because college football is going to be, I mean, we've got conference championships coming up this weekend and then you're going to have a significant break in action. Not significant because whatever, but yeah, I mean, it's just the number of games are going to start dwindling. The frequency of the games are going to start dwindling. And so I think that's probably when I'll dive in to the whole Mavs Stars scene. Because I think I've just been, you know, and it's hard, like we've talked about change and, you know, I've got Victory Plus now on the TV and on the phone and all that kind of stuff. It's just getting into that new routine. And
right.
I feel like the Mavericks, it's still confusing on where they are.
Right.
You know,
no one wants to do extra work
on a night to night basis. So anyway, and we won't talk about it here tonight or today, but that the Rangers thing still hasn't, they're working on that as far as their TV plan. It's a little bit different because you're talking about twice the number of games that the Mavs and the Stars have. You're not 82, you're talking about 162. And so it's a bit of a different beast for them. So I'm curious to see how that'll all shake out and, you know, how it will affect me and all that fun stuff.
Right.
So anyway, all right, there's some sports scorts. Let's do a little what's on your feed before we get to our happenings and our guests. Brought to us, what's on our feed is brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes, Audrey Dolan's Media. If you have a company that you are looking to figure out your digital media plan, your social marketing or social media plan, your marketing plan, any of those things, go check them out at audreydolans.com. They will take such a load off because they will help you figure all of that out as far as the execution of your social media, of any graphics, any design stuff. They do it all so you can focus on your own company and growing your business and doing what it is that you do best, which is probably not the social media and the marketing side of it. So they will take care of it. They've been helping us here on the Mom Game. You might have noticed we've had a bit of a glow up when it comes to social media. We also have a newsletter going, which is really cool. I've always kind of wanted to get in on this newsletter thing. I think it's a great way to communicate with your listeners, with your fans outside of the actual podcast and kind of put the nuts and bullets out there in a different format. And it also is a great way to help spread and further our clients and partners' messages. They're on that newsletter. So big thanks to Audrey Dolan's. If you are interested in anything of the sort, just go check them out. AudreyDolan's.com. Tell them that you heard about them on the Mom Game and they will hook you up.
Yay. Okay. So a little bit of what's on your feed. So just so overwhelmed with the Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday.
Yeah. Has it always been like all?
I feel like
they're all growing.
Yeah. And being in direct sales or network marketing like I have been with Scout and Seller and with Olivetta now, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of deals. And that's on top. And that's just as someone who's kind of connected with companies who are pushing stuff on these holidays or whatever. But the number of email, have you looked at your inbox? Like it's just,
I try to keep up with the deleting because it's so overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's so many deals, but I will say like, I was able to take advantage of a couple and not based on emails or whatever, but like Henry finally got his Christmas list to me. So I'm trying to, I don't know if you do this yet, where you buy gifts for the grandparents and then they pay you back. Whatever, because instead of, you can't just now send a list anymore to everyone because then what if it's people buy the same stuff?
Yeah.
So basically it's like, I tell my kids, give me your list and then I'm going to divvy it up to relatives based on they're asking, what do you want for Christmas? That way.
A very businessy approach.
In control of, we don't end up with,
right.
Two of everything or
yeah.
Three of something or, But anyway, so there was, but this one thing that Henry wanted and I looked on, it was like literally 33% off. Like it was $150 and it was $100.
Black Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Cyber Tuesday,
yeah. Like
Saturday,
when you can
Monday.
Really like deal with it, like and get in and dig and find stuff, you can get some good deals. But mm-hmm. It's like too overwhelming to even try.
Right. Do you have your kids make a list?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so young.
They're little.
We're getting PowerPoints from Hattie.
Yeah.
Made with CapCut. And then like links. Henry sent me a shared note with links. And
oh my gosh.
Okay. But also too, we cleaned out we cleaned out our game, made the kids go through toys one more time. And they don't have a ton of toys. They're old. I mean, they're 13 and 11. There's not a ton of toys at our house. But I was like, let's go through board games. Let's go. There was at least five things from last Christmas that had not ever been opened or used.
Yeah.
And I was like, we are going to give this to someone else who can actually use this. So we took it, our church in Fort Worth has a mission. And so we took all that stuff to the mission. I'm like, somebody will get really, will really appreciate this. It has literally sat in your closet for a full calendar year. You're clearly not that into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of getting a bunch of like, random stuff, and my kids are more expensive now in their taste.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm more than happy to provide, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, anybody who wants to buy something, get them something for Christmas, like, here's a link.
Right.
Let me know if you got it so I can check it off my list.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but yeah, it's just it's a lot, but the big sales did come into play a little bit.
Yeah. I stopped down on a couple like websites like Gap. I ordered a couple things and
okay.
We were in Lano on, there is actually where I got this. It's a really cute little boutique. I do like supporting the small business.
Yeah.
Like that's the one I can get behind more than those others.
Yeah.
Just cause the other ones are pretty much tired head for these big box stores, yeah. Right? Just trying to get your attention. But I do for love sure. The small business Saturday. I'm glad they have a day. I wish it wasn't mixed in with all the other stuff.
Yeah, because you go from like small, you know, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday.
Yeah. I was trying to understand.
But what I have learned, though, is that like basically small, big, medium, it doesn't matter. Everyone's basically just running sales from fucking Friday to Monday at least.
Yeah.
Like, so it's
the last day. And then they email you the next. This is really the last chance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you make the mistake of like clicking on something or like writing your email, you know, like if you're a little bit interested and you want to find out more, and then they just send all of the email monsters to you all the time. You're like, I just wanted to know and I found out that I don't want it.
Or like if you accidentally click on something on Instagram or something and then they figure it out and then they just fucking hammer you with ads and shit.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, one other thing I wanted to discuss on the feed. Well, we did allude to my husband making a cobbler and dirtying every dish in the house. God bless him. And that's why, like, let me preface this by saying I love my husband dearly. He is awesome. He does so many things really well. He does like to cook. He likes to cook. Mm-hmm. But Julie, when he cooks, he has no regard for dish count. Like no regard for cleaning up as you go or just even some semblance of it.
This is a common thing with husbands.
And so it's like 10 a.m. and he's wanting to make this cobbler. And like, I'm like, well, then you need to get this show on the road. I need you to knock this shit out so I can clean all of the tornado aftermath left behind before people get here. So he's just got his apron on and he's pretending like he's a YouTuber and talking out loud all the things that he's doing.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my God, just make the fucking cobbler. So anyway, he goes through this cobbler mess. So then he goes to put everything up and he's still commentating like he's on a fucking YouTube channel. And he's like, and there's our unbleached flour. And I was like, nope.
That sounds funny.
That was pancake mix. You just made your cobbler with pancake
mix.
Ooh, he was like,
because you had it in a tub and he didn't have he didn't know what
there
was
is good. A label on the bottom of the container that says what it is.
If it was in the Bisquick or pancake mix box, he would have never done
we
that.
We don't have Bisquick mix boxes, Julie.
I know you don't.
So anyway, I was like, oh dear. Well, we're going to have pancake cobbler. So anyway, he made it and it was actually
with the pancake mix.
Yes. Oh, no. So pancake mix instead of flour.
Now he really does need to do a YouTube video because this is a new recipe.
Oh, good.
Hot new recipe.
Yeah, it was really good.
From Mike. Mike the baker.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So anyway, he did that and cleaned up. But I just, God love him.
No regard.
No,
mine is not like one. And I love, like, Kelly is very, really good at barbecuing and stuff on the grill. Like, he's gotten really good at it.
Same. Love it.
To the point where I, like, have to keep him around because
it's
so good. I don't want to train somebody else from the beginning.
Please. God, no. We don't have to. That was awful.
Right?
Can you imagine getting someone else used to you?
Oh, no.
And I'm talking about me, not you. Like, oh, God bless. Like, no, I don't have a fucking prayer.
No, you don't. You got to keep them.
Neither do you.
At this point.
Neither do you. Oh. You don't have a prayer either.
Oh.
Just so you know, for the record.
Oh, really?
Not like you have this big prayer. There's and I've got no
a
prayer.
Quick about face.
I just wanted to
What's
make
wrong with me?
I just wanted to make sure we were the same. It makes me feel good to know that you don't have a prayer just like I don't have a prayer.
That's right. We're both stuck.
Yeah. We are. We can marry each other.
We're both stuck. We could. Or not. Like, or just disaster. Like not get married.
And just hang out just together.
Yeah. Just do that.
Oh my God. We would kill each other.
Oh.
It would be fun for a minute.
Yeah.
Or an hour. Or maybe a week. And then we would kill each other.
I know. It is an interesting thought. It's like just living like near and with like all your friends and like no men. Just living in like a
compound.
A compound.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The mom pound.
I don't know that there might be some connotations with that.
Only in your brain.
The mom pound. Actually brilliant, Julie.
Thank you.
Point you.
Thank you.
Gumby and the mom pound. What was,
there was even more.
Look that up on Google.
Danny. Oh my Danny, God. Can our listeners hear you when you do that?
No. I don't know.
I want them to.
There's no telling. Probably.
I love it.
We need to enable that. We need to hear Danny in their ear.
We can tease probably next week or whatever. We don't have guests now for a while.
So we don't.
We have some Danny in our lives.
We do. We need more Danny in our lives. Okay, so I forgot where we're going.
Well, I was telling you the one thing. It's like he's really good at barbecuing.
Okay, yes.
But it's like it's coffee and barbecuing. It's like when he seasons, it's like,
oh my gosh.
And then the stuff's all over the counter. He takes the meat out.
Yeah. So like we're celebrating the meat. Woo! Yes. Confetti from the sky everywhere.
Like no regard for
spices all over.
Half of it went everywhere. And then you just take it out. So there's like a big square in the middle of all this like seasoning. And then he just leaves it. And the same with the coffee. It's like the coffee grinder. And then he pours it in. It goes everywhere. And he's just like, well, see you later. I'm like, well, how do you not?
I know.
How do you not?
Well, so after our long weekend of togetherness, Mike, last night, because the kids wanted to do some Christmas, so I was like, yes, let's get in the Christmas spirit, blah, blah, blah. And then I was working to put the rundown in for the show. And he came in and he was like, oh, no, actually, I walked in the kitchen and he had the scrubber out.
Oh.
Which means he wasn't soaking something.
Nice.
He was like,
step one, don't soak.
Did you want to put this on your Insta feed?
Because
he's scrubbing. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at you. So then I went back in the office, getting the rundown ready or whatever. He came in. He was like, just wanted you to know, I cleaned up the kitchen and I wiped off the countertops. And I was like, whoa, I'm so happy.
Is it because you put him on Instagram? No,
I didn't put him. Oh, maybe
the other day you did. Oh, that's why he was probably,
he doesn't care.
Okay,
trust me. If that worked, I would do it a lot more often. No, I think he just was kind of, and he was really sweet. He was like, I just wanted to say thank you for making Thanksgiving so great and special. Aww. And like, you know, getting the house in order and
yes,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
neurotically,
a little bit of recognition goes a long way.
Oh my gosh, that's what I feel like I'm a pretty simple human. Like, can you just tell me that I'm awesome every once in a while?
Just every once.
Not all the time.
Yeah.
But like when I'm doing awesome stuff, can you tell me? It's so awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and when I'm talking about awesome stuff, I'm talking about like organizing drawers and cleaning kitchens and making beds and doing laundry. So awesome.
It
can you tell
awesome.
Me? That's it. That's all I want.
If you come do all that at my house, I'll tell you you're awesome. I will. I really will.
Allow me to invite you over. So I can tell you just how much I appreciate you and think
how awesome
you are.
Can you be?
So awesome. Let's put this to the test. That's amazing. Okay. We're going to save this for next week because we're running long because we have two guests we need to get to. But we need to talk about the elves on the shelves. Okay. We need to talk about Santa and stuff. So let's put that in the tackle box.
Elves on the shelves and Santa and stuff.
Elves and Santa.
Got it.
We need to put that in the tackle box. Okay, but right now we've got to get our guest because they're waiting.
They've been listening this whole time.
So they're so bored with us. Actually, they're entertained. They think we're awesome because we told them to say that. Okay, so Mom Game happenings. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, and it's something that's super, super important, especially this time of year. 1 in 5 North Texas children are facing hungry. That is more than 286,000 kids. It's a huge problem. It's one that you probably may not or don't even realize that exists in our community right in our very backyard. But thanks to the Beaumont Foundation of America and Salmon's Enterprises, They have teamed up with North Texas Food Bank to double the difference for neighbors in your area during this time of giving. Your gift will go twice as far. Every $1 provides access to 6 nourishing meals as we invite you to stand with us and help end the hunger insecurity problem issue in our community. The North Texas Food Bank does a fantastic job of getting food in the hands of the people who need it most, and we want to help them continue those efforts. So it's going on now through the end of the year. The goal is 50,000 meals provided, 50 million meals to provide. You never know where the face of hunger is in your community, and we invite you to stand with us, contribute to the North Texas Food Bank, and have those dollars matched to where we can help those who need it the most, especially in this holiday season. So it's ntfb.org/themomgame. Make a donation there. Tell us about it. Tweet us about it. No, it's not tweets, not a thing. Send us a DM, screenshot your receipt, whatever. We'll give you a shout out for supporting the good work that the North Texas Food Bank is doing in our community. And now it is time for our special guest number one.
And we are overjoyed now to be joined by an old friend. We have Michael Conradi and a trophy here in studio with us from the Cotton Bowl. Michael is the chief marketing officer with the Cotton Bowl, and we've both known him for quite a while. And we're just thrilled that you're here today, Michael. Thanks so much for coming.
It's an absolute honor. It's so good to see you both, and it's been too long.
Yeah, long so time. When we were talking about when we met in the 1900s, like, remember back in 1999?
Back when the Big 12 was the original 12.
I know.
Yeah, it was a different time for sure.
I know. My, how things have changed. Yeah. Well, we're thrilled to have you in studio with us. We're going to talk a little Cotton Bowl. We're going to talk a little just college football in general. Yeah. This will be your 26th Cotton Bowl.
How about it?
Time flies. Yeah.
It's wow.
Crazy. I feel like you haven't aged.
Well, no, that I have. Okay. I certainly lost some of my hair along the way.
Okay.
It's funny, Rick Baker, our president, he's got gray hair, and he likes to tell people that I gave him the gray hair, and then right. I like to tell him he made me pull mine out. It's one of those deals.
It's all very, they sound like a married couple.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so first of all, how has the Cotton Bowl evolved with the college football playoff over the years? And you've been there for pretty much all of it.
So much change, yeah.
Change galore. I mean, go back now to the advent of the college football playoff. I mean, we made the move to AT&T Stadium from the old Cotton Bowl Stadium under the auspice that we wanted to be at the top tier of postseason college football. And so to have this opportunity when the college football playoff came along, the only thing we were missing was a great stadium. And we had it with AT&T Stadium, compliments of Jerry and his connection to our game. And so to finally have this chance to end the Cotton Bowl experience with a primo experience at the stadium was huge. And so when the college football playoff came along 10 years ago, we were as well positioned as anybody. So to get into the game, and at that point it was such to where we were in a rotation with the 6 bowls, including us, that they called the New Year's 6 at the time, to host the semifinal every 3 years. And then when we didn't have a semifinal the other 2 years, it was basically top 10 matchups. So like last year we had Ohio State and Missouri.
Yay! MIZ, baby!
That's right. But now fast forward, expanded playoff, 12 teams. We're going to be a playoff game every year. So this year, we're the semifinal. We're the last game before the national championship, playing later than we ever have on January 10th. And then next year, we're the quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. So it's great for us because obviously everybody's going to be talking about the playoff, be talking about the road to the national championship, and it flows through the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, which is really exciting.
Okay, so, and forgive my ignorance. Will anyone, because of there's home, there's going to be certain games that are played in home stadiums, right?
Sure, for the first time.
Yeah, will there ever be a bowl that will host or a site that will host multiple?
No. Well, I say that. So the way it works is you have the first round games that are played on campus. So the top 4 seeds in the expanded playoff will get a bye in the first round.
Okay.
They'll automatically get plugged in to the quarterfinal bowl sites. So this year, Rose, Sugar, Peach, and Fiesta host the quarterfinals.
Okay.
And then the winner of the on-campus games will feed into those quarterfinals to play the top 4 seeds. And then the winners of those games will advance to the Orange Bowl on January 9th as one semifinal and the Cotton as the other semifinal. So we won't know our teams directly until after January 1st when the quarterfinals are played, which is a huge change for us, right?
Oh, yeah.
Weeks and weeks to prep for the teams. Not anymore. We're gonna know on December 8th. The bracket comes out a week from this coming Sunday after the conference championships.
Right.
So we'll at least know at that point what six teams feed into our side of the bracket. So we'll have a sense of what teams could come to North Texas.
And then be able to pare it down week by week.
And so from that standpoint, right, not until the games are played. There's one quarterfinal on New Year's Eve and there's three on New Year's Day. And so once those are played, it'll be a mad dash.
It's go time.
And you think about it, the fans have, a week to plan their travel to North Texas. And so we're doing everything we can to make the process as easy as possible. I think we're at an advantage because we've got great geography, being in the middle of the country. We've got two phenomenal airports, hotels galore. We're sitting pretty in regards to the ability to have fans on a short notice come to North Texas.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously this is what a lot of people have wanted for a long time, is a larger, playoff format and then trickling things down to the championship game the way it is set up now. And you don't think about the marketing side of it and how that does pose like a really interesting situation for you guys that are trying to prepare and plan for this. And then also all the fans, like you said, who are trying to scramble and get hotels and flights and all of their arrangements. So how do you guys manage all of that? Do you have a few, contingency plans based on which teams might be coming in? Or how do you really prepare? You wait all year for this. You work all year for this. And then you've got just 10 days, really, to plan for these teams.
Great question. And it's something, honestly, we've spent most of the year trying to plan for. In all honesty, if you look at how the tickets are divided up for our game, we have roughly 12,500 that we have to set aside for each team contractually. And then everything else we sell in the local market. And since moving to AT&T Stadium, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic has been sold out before the college football season starts. So that shows you how North Texas gets behind college football. It's such a hotbed. There's so many alumni bases here that have strong alumni bases. And so, and generations of families that have grown up going to the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic on, New Year's Day historically. And so for us, we're really in a good position, I think, to be able to handle any tickets that maybe aren't being sold by either school because it's too far to travel, it's too short notice, et cetera. But certainly something that we're planning for. And it's going to be interesting to see how the fan travel for a January 10th game works compared to a quarterfinal on New Year's Day.
Because it's not built into like a school holiday right, where people are off of work and off of school. Yeah.
Just use you two as an example. Your kiddos are back in school on January 10th, I assume, and mine are. And so, inevitably if you're traveling, you're going to take Friday off and you're going to come in for our game and, stay for the weekend. And so, that's something that we're also trying to do things around our game to entice fans to want to come no matter who's in the game, right?
Right, yeah.
For the locals, how do we get the family of four in Frisco to want to drive to Arlington to come be a part of the experience no matter who's playing? Knowing you're always going to have a top matchup, a top four potentially matchup in the country, but how do we entice folks to want to come to the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic every year and become a season ticket holder, et cetera?
Make it part of your routine or your tradition. Yeah.
So when will the Cotton Bowl hold a national championship?
So to that point, when you were asking about the prospect of a bowl game hosting two games, you have to be invited to bid on the national championship.
Okay.
And so it's similar to the Super Bowl in that manner. So whereas back in the BCS days, the Sugar Bowl would host the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day and then come back a few weeks later and host the BCS National Championship game. That went away with the college football playoff. And now the way they handle the national championship bidding process is you have to be invited to bid on it. And so I think our time will come. We'll have an opportunity here in the near future. There's some things that they look at. It's not just the stadium. You have to have the convention center. And right now there's not discussion. They're going to redo Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. We need facilities like that to host a major game like the national championship.
And would it still be called the Goodyear Classic?
No, it'll be the College Football Playoff National Championship. And so then, for instance, we did host the very first College Football Playoff National Championship. When I say we, it was a local organizing committee that was comprised of the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic and the Dallas Cowboys that formed what was called the Stadium Events Organizing Committee, the SEOC. Ooh, that was the LOC for the first national championship. If you remember, that was Oregon, Ohio State, Zeke at Ohio State, and Marcus Mariota at Oregon. And so that was right out of the chute. So we're due for another game, and I think it's going to come back. It's just a matter of having all kind of the ducks lined up perfectly in a row. Not Oregon Ducks, but having all the ducks lined up in a row to be able to put our best foot forward on a bidding process. And, you know, if you look at North Texas right now too, if you know, the process of hosting the World Cup, 9 games, it's amazing that we have this coming to North Texas, but the amount of money that has to be raised to host an event of that magnitude, it doesn't get any bigger than the World Cup.
Sure.
So at a lesser level, you also have the college football playoff national championship that you have to raise money for. So you also have to look at all of these events in North Texas as you look at the calendar over the years to come and say, all right, so for the sake of raising this money, can you be successful in regards to going to corporations, going to individuals to try to lure this game here and be able to raise it? A city like Las Vegas, their hotels will cut a check for any major sporting event.
Yeah.
Here in North Texas, you know, Monica Paul at the Dallas Sports Commission, she's, you know, put together the local organizing committee. They're out there knocking on doors right now trying to raise the money for, you know, what will be the most World Cup matches. But similar scenario to what we'll have to do, not to that level, but certainly we're going to have to raise that funds to host the game here.
Right. God, it's so crazy.
It's
how
crazy.
Much it is involved.
I don't think people really realize that at all, right? No. You just flip on the TV and you watch your game and you move on. It's like all this hard work underneath.
Well, you go into it. Like, for instance, let's talk about the first round games this year. Everybody's super excited about the prospect of, you know, a snow game at Penn State in the first round, or, you know, a home game at, you know, Ohio State or whatever it may be. Well, it's middle of December. The students are home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Those students historically are all of your ticket takers, your concession workers, your parking attendants.
Oh, yeah.
So it's also midterm graduation for a lot of schools. So it's going to be fascinating to see the operations of these first round games and how successful they are on campus.
Yeah.
Certainly the
interesting. Yeah.
The athletic directors are excited about it because they see dollar signs.
Yeah. So obviously it was totally different, you know, a decade ago, where, you know, you invited whoever you wanted to be at your bowl. Now, is there any politicking of like, well, it sure would be nice to see Texas in that Cotton Bowl funnel, SMU in that Cotton Bowl funnel. How does that work?
Yeah.
Can we not speak of this?
No. That's a great question. I will say that, you know, the politics is out for us. I mean, at the end of the day, the college football playoff selection committee is going to determine who gets into the playoff. They're going to determine what side of the bracket these teams feed in on. What we do know with the new expanded playoff is the number one seed will get a geographic advantage. So let's use Oregon as an example. They're number one right now. Let's say they win the Big Ten championship game. As Big Ten champion, they will automatically be placed into the Rose Bowl because there's still those contracts in existence for 2 more years. So they'll go to the Rose Bowl and then, okay, look at who's hosting the 2 semifinals, Orange, Cotton. Are you going to send Oregon all the way to Miami to play? And in that scenario, probably not. They'll probably then put us on that side of the bracket to where Oregon could play through to us if Oregon wins.
Right.
And then after that, it's really just kind of plugged in based on seeding, based on rankings. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly it would be our hope that we can, you know, over time have more regional teams to where a Texas A&M, a Texas Tech, you know, whomever's in the playoff on SMU, obviously this year would be an amazing story if
they made
it all the way to the semifinal.
God, that would be cool.
Huh. Yeah.
Can you imagine how nutso it would be? Yeah. I mean, especially Texas, just because their fan base is so ridiculously big.
Well, TCU a few years ago, and that was not here, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, obviously they made it all the way to SoFi in LA for the national championship, an amazing run for the Horned Frogs.
Yeah.
So if SMU could replicate that, this town would just go bonkers.
Yeah, it was pretty. My husband went to TCU, and we have season tickets, and we live 2 miles from the stadium, and so it was an unbelievable run. But there was a lot of people who, for lack of a better word, blew their wad financially on the semifinal game, and then, you know, when it came time to LA, it was like, oh gosh, here we go again.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
how big of a fan are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's going to be part of this playoff. Yeah. Moving forward, you know, you've got conference championships, first round games on campus, quarterfinal bowl sites, semifinal bowl sites.
And you're talking about like a month long run, 6 week run where you're traveling every other week if you want to follow every week or every other week if you want
to
follow.
There's
your
only
team.
So many that can play in that sandbox to pick up their family and travel from week to week.
For sure.
So that's where, again, I think North Texas and the support we have here in North Texas is so critical.
Yeah.
I don't play in that sandbox.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But we did talk about how this is something that, you know, you guys do work on year round and you try to kind of change it up from year to year and have different ways to draw people in, ways for people to celebrate leading up to the Cotton Bowl, and then, of course, the weekend of. So what kind of things are you guys working on this year? What kind of changes can we expect to see?
Always looking for opportunities to improve the fan experience. So I would say the two biggest changes this year that fans can expect, and we hope they come out early and stay all day, so our Goodyear Huddle Up Fan Fest, which is held on the West Plaza, Miller Lighthouse of AT&T Stadium. Starting at 4 o'clock, we have team pep rallies. That's been a part of the Fan Fest forever. But at 4:30, Shaq, DJ Diesel, hits the stage.
Okay, so, now we're talking.
Yes. So Shaq.
Do you need somebody to introduce him?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on. So Shaq is, Shaq's going to perform for an hour. And, you know, I had the opportunity. I was out in Vegas for Big 12 Media Days. And it just so happened Shaq was performing at the Encore Beach Club. And so I reached out to Rick, our president, and said, hey, Shaq's out here. And he's like, go check out the show. Let's make sure that this is what we hope it's going to be. And I showed up at 10 o'clock when the ticket said that's when the show starts.
Uh-huh.
And needless to say, he didn't come on the stage till 1:15 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
That's normal for Vegas, apparently. That was way past my
1:15.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awful.
So that's like, but when people
we Scotty Rogers on our staff, myself, we made the most of it, and we.
How did you stay awake? Oh my gosh,
it was.
We
it
made
was
the most of it. I love it.
We were there, and it was when the USA basketball team was prepping for Paris.
Okay,
and so I'm behind Shaq by about 10 feet because I'd reached out to his folks. And Joel Embiid is right next to me.
Uh-uh.
And you had these NBAers that were back there having fun with Shaq. And Shaq's son was there DJing with him.
Oh, wow. I bet you fit right in.
Absolutely. I was just happy I brought shorts with me to Vegas to be able to not look like a, you know, middle-aged white guy.
Okay, and so how was he?
He was awesome. Yeah. He's going to put on a show for everybody at AT&T Stadium. And he's family friendly. I mean, that's what's fun is I bring out the kids.
Yeah.
They will love it. And he puts on a show for everybody.
So he's performed at Texas Tech has now done this huge thing where they're trying to make their game day experience, you know, next level. And I think the last couple of years they've had him out to play the pregame tailgate.
It's like a passion play for him.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves to play to crowds. He loves DJing, certainly. I mean, he takes it seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that he has, you know, he lives here in North Texas part of the year. And so, it was a no-brainer for us when we started going after him.
Yeah.
And then to see, obviously, his show in Vegas.
Well, I'm just glad he found a way to make some money.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been
hurting. Was he going to do?
I was really worried about his financial state. Okay. One thing. Oh, what else?
But well, no. And then as the game is over, we want everybody to head out to the East Plaza because we are doing the drone show. It's the cool thing to do.
Okay.
And I will say we are putting on a drone show. So
you guys are so hip.
If you've seen what the University of Texas has done for their drone show, we're going to try to top it.
Okay.
So you want to stay to the bitter end and watch the drone.
So you go in on the West Plaza, hang out to start, near Shaq, and then go into the stadium, watch the game, and then exit on the East.
We're actually launching the drones from Globe Life. So they'll be over on that side and fly up and
so what time is the game?
6:30 kickoff.
Okay.
So presumably, you know, first of all, that time of year it gets dark at 5:30.
Yeah.
About right now.
So it'll be dark. And then how do you guys get to decide if the roof's open? And what about those curtains?
Yeah. So beauty of a night game.
That's true. You don't need the curtains.
But I will say that the running joke is, you know, we played 73 years at Cotton Bowl Stadium and we played our first 73 years outside. We're playing our next 73 inside.
Inside. Okay.
I've had too many people that I've run into over the years is like, oh, you work at the Cotton Bowl. Oh, I went to the such and such Cotton Bowl back at the old stadium. Coldest day.
Yeah. Yeah.
73 and sunny inside AT&T Stadium.
There you go. It's perfect. I know. So, it's
listen,
perfect.
There's people say, you can say what you want about outdoor sports. As someone who lost like 5 years of my life working in the Texas heat across the street at the old ballpark, I have no complaints about climate control at this point in my life.
Okay, sounds like so much fun, though.
It does.
Like all of it.
Oh, it is.
It sounds like a blast.
Yeah. Well, and it belongs to North Texas. I mean, it's a celebration of college football, certainly, but I mean, you know, this game has been around. It's part of the fabric for 89 years. I mean, if you go back to 1937 and Doak Walker and SMU and the whole connection that, you know, made the Cotton Bowl what it was, the stadium in Fair Park got its name from our game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's such a rich history there. And so, you know, certainly the hope is that people feel like, hey, this is our bowl game. This belongs to North Texas. It's part of who we are as North Texans.
Right.
Like, so many, as I mentioned, so many generations that have grown up. New Year's Day, Black Eyed Peas,
and the Cotton Bowl. Okay.
I love it.
Total morbid curiosity here. I have to ask about I remember when I was covering tech and they would go to bowl games and they would get these like swag bags some people would be like a gaming system. I'm like, what the fuck? This is insane. How are there regulations? It's been so long since that time of my life, but what are the regulations now? How do y'all? Because now it's like the Wild West. It's NIL. People are making millions of dollars. Like, what are you doing?
Okay, well, so let's back up. And Cotton Bowl. So there's under NCAA rules, there is a limit to how much you can give a student athlete, which seems crazy in this day and age.
Yeah,
NIL. But back in the late 60s and 70s, the Cotton Bowl used to give the players Rolexes.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh.
This is really before Rolex was Rolex, but I mean, you'll still see one every once in a while that will pop up on eBay or whatnot.
Really?
And so the NCAA then started saying, wait a second.
Wow. All right,
we're gonna institute a rule here where, the limit. And so really, roughly, we have $500 we're allowed to spend on a student.
Okay.
And then the CFP obviously supplements with some of the stuff their own, the school supplement, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, the NIL aspect of it, you're right. I mean, when a quarterback's getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for NIL. But we still have
no Rolexes were a thing. That's insanity.
I'm telling you. Now that NIL's a thing, we should bring it back. So
yeah.
Rolex, if you're listening.
Well, let's go.
Cotton Bowl's coming calling. Their U.S. headquarters are just around the corner from us here. So we should go knock on their door.
Oh, wow.
Holler, Rolex.
Who knew? Yeah. How about
future mom game there sponsor?
I know they could do a joint sponsorship.
Yeah.
Rolex.
Yeah.
How about the NIL though, and just how it's changed? Like from your eyes, see it up close.
Yeah.
Good? Is it bad? Did they get it right? Did they get it wrong? I know that's a giant question, but what has it been like just kind of watching it evolve?
I thought Greg Sankey, when he was here for SEC Media Days this summer in North Texas, said it best. He goes, you know, they're condensing 10 years of changes in a matter of months.
Yeah.
And so they're going to make mistakes. There's no doubt. And they're getting a lot of things right. I mean, at the end of the day, student athletes deserve to be compensated. I will say the way in which it's coming about, there needs to be change because Nick Saban, we had an event a couple months ago over at SMU at the George Bush Library where we had Nick Saban and Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, come and speak to our board. And Nick said, stop calling it NIL. It's not NIL. It's pay for play. And in the current context of the way things are, right, where you combine it with a transfer portal where, you know, student athletes are being recruited to come to a campus and being told you're going to get paid X amount to come play for us. And, oh, you don't like the way the coach is talking to you. Well, come on over to our school. We'll pay you more. I mean, that's where it's toxic and they've got to put guardrails around it. And to a degree, this, you know, there's the discussion about this NCAA versus House, legislation that's coming through the settlement, I should say, that will put some guardrails.
Yeah. And that hits like in April, I think.
Well,
doesn't it?
And it'll be interesting to see if it gets held up in court. And,
yeah.
But schools are preparing for it. I mean, you're talking about an additional potentially upwards of $20 million that athletic departments are going to have to pay out annually to student athletes. And so you'll see, I saw recently, for instance, I believe it was Arkansas is adding basically almost a tax to concessions at their games
to come up with that money.
To come up with money to pay student athletes.
Because they're trying to make it kind of like, for lack of a better word, a salary cap.
Yeah.
Is what they're trying to do. It's fascinating to watch, but there is this whole gray area between now and when that, if that, what that takes effect,
right.
That NCAA versus House, then it'll get wild these next 3-4 months. Schools trying to get in their big time offers before those guardrails are in place. Sure.
Well, I will say this: it's a great time to be a student athlete, from the standpoint of making money. But there is a negative side, and the negative side is that players are being told things that ultimately aren't being followed.
Oh, yeah.
On. And so you have a young 18, 19 year old kid, very impressionable, who's being said, "Hey, come here. We've got money for you, etc." Or even she, right? Because, you know, heck, Texas Tech softball, big bucks paid out to softball, right?
Million dollars.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's touching all sports, in all honesty, to a degree. But football and basketball is where the money is big time. And I will say that it's not sustainable because there are schools that just can't raise that kind of money.
And then they're going to have to eliminate programs because so much of that, from what I understand, that $24.5 million or whatever it is to be distributed based on the income that each program produces.
Again, football and basketball.
And that's it. Those are the only, I mean, and you'll get a rare school like a UConn that women's basketball does something. You know, it's just, but it's going to change the whole landscape, not just of college football, but of college athletics, period.
And these
schools that don't have the big donors that can't come up with that $24.5 million, they're not going to have the option to keep those programs alive.
Well, that's the big worry, right? And if you look at, college athletics is the biggest training ground for the Olympians. And so if you look at all these Olympic sports, it's unique to the United States. Our training program for Olympians is college athletics. And if all of a sudden the money gets pulled away from those programs to go towards football and basketball, there's a real concern that these programs that are training future Olympians may go away and there can be less opportunities.
Very much a trickle-down effect for sure. Well, and if you don't, I mean, people will say like, well, it's just football, it's just college football. You know, these universities are about education. Look no further than Colorado. Look at what Deion Sanders has done at Colorado. Their enrollment's up like a gazillion. He has transformed not just that program, he has transformed that entire university. Their enrollment is up.
Sure.
And it's directly correlated to the success of the stinking football team.
Well, the football team is the front door for almost every major university. Yep. And it's something that if you have a successful year, I would love to see the stats, but go back to, remember when Boise State played Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, the famous, ending to that game, the Statue of Liberty. Boise State's applications went through the roof after winning not a national championship, just getting to the Fiesta Bowl and beating Oklahoma was massive. TCU getting to the national championship was huge for their admissions.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, the business that is college football and the implication it has on the business of running a university, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Gets the eyeballs. That's what it's all about,
it's
right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have you back on after that whole that House versus NCAA or NCAA versus House. I'd love to talk to you more about it.
It's, absolutely, changing every week.
It's fascinating.
It really is. And it's hard to keep up. Honestly,
I know
with all the news that comes out on a daily basis.
Well, we are super excited. Tell people how they can get tickets.
Yep.
What can they do? Where can they go to figure out all the fun stuff?
Well, okay, go to GoodyearCottonBowl.com. And you can learn about our fan events that we have. So we have, Cotton Bowl Live at Texas Live the night before the game, free concert for fans to come partake and have fun the night before the game. And then I've mentioned some of the big events around the game itself on game day. The game itself through our office is sold out, which is a great problem to have. But there are certainly tickets via the secondary market or certainly via the teams once they know they're in our game. I would just continue to go to our website, goodyearcottonbowl.com, and watch what's going on from a ticketing perspective. SeatGeek is kind of our official ticket partner, as they are for AT&T Stadium and the Dallas Cowboys. So you can certainly find tickets right now from those that are listing their tickets on the secondary market through SeatGeek.
So. And there's so much going on. Like, even if you don't have a ticket to get in the game, it sounds like there's going to be a party from,
sun up to sundown. Yes. I mean, there's something for everyone. That's the beauty of it. That's what we're trying to create. And I will tell you that, it's going to be a special year this year, being the first you know, semifinal of this expanded playoff, if you will, or being a semifinal as part of the expanded playoff. And, you know, the future is so bright for our game. I mean, think about it. We don't have to really worry about opt-outs and players opting out anymore because you want to play for a national championship.
Yeah.
So it's just raising the profile of our game that much more. I mean, heck, I'm on the mom game.
I mean, you have arrived.
Here we go. Obviously.
Well, Michael Conradi, thank you so much for being with us. It was so great to catch up with you, see you again. We'll be supporting you guys and let us know if
whatever we can do to help.
Well, you need an introduction, like an introducer for Shaq, just let us know.
Okay.
We're happy to be
there.
Here we go.
Yeah. Thank you both.
All right. Really. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. All right. That is Michael Conradi. And now it is time for our second special guest of the day.
And let's welcome in an old friend now to the show. It is the CMO of Golden Chick, our friend Howard Terry. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know.
You came. See you guys.
I know. You came. You brought food. We're excited about that.
Hey, I work for a restaurant. We always bring food.
Well, thank you. Both of us, our stomachs have been growling all morning, so that will definitely come in handy. Okay, so you guys have been a partner with us for a little while now.
Yes.
Tell us about your background personally and how you got involved with Golden Chick and, you know, kind of we talk a lot about your community efforts, but kind of how your role fits into this whole chicken space.
Of course. Yeah, I've been with Golden Chick coming up on 10 years now, which scares me. I didn't realize it'd been that long, but I've been on the restaurant marketing side for 30 years. Started back when there was a Bonanza restaurants and Texas Land and Cattle. A lot of brands that aren't even around anymore.
Yeah.
They were doing well when I was there.
There you go.
So
there's a reason why they're gone now.
And then TGI Fridays, Denny's for 5 years, came back to Dallas to work on Friday's business, and then started up Mooyah when we just had 3 restaurants and was there for a while, and then went and did some work with the Raising Cane's people for 3 years, and that's how I really got to know Golden Chick, was more from... You know, it's a brand that's been around forever, but I'd never went to it. It was just like a sleepy little chicken brand. And I got to meet the owner of Golden Chick, a guy named Mark Parmalee, who bought the restaurant 30 years ago, and fell in love with the brand. I was like, okay, best in category food, but no one knows about it. Why don't we do some advertising? Why don't we, you know, activate that brand? And since then, we have grown from the 270th largest restaurant brand to the 150th.
Wow.
In that 10 years. So just doing some smart things. The brand was always solid. It was just kind of invisible. So that's what marketing will do.
Yeah, I know. It's such an important part of what's going on, especially now. Don't you think more than ever?
Right.
The marketing aspect of it. And there's so many more different avenues that you can go down. It's not just the traditional, you know, mediums that companies are looking at anymore.
No, it's really gotten diverse. And it's, you know, you can't just put spots on TV anymore. You have to be involved in social and digital. And in fact, we were just looking at, you know, the declining share of TV viewership. Like everybody watches, you know, streaming services. They're watching YouTube TV. They're not just watching ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. Used to be easy. Just run TV spots.
Yep.
Now you have to, you know, be multi-channel. Podcasts are one of those things. This was a really, like our first foray into supporting podcasts was you guys. And that was because it was easy. I knew both of you, had worked with you all the way far back as 2017, Emily, as a fan, because we're huge Texas Ranger fans.
Obviously.
We're a big sponsor of the Texas Rangers. We sponsor the Dot Race.
Yep.
When I was at Raising Cane's, I tried to get the Dot Race, but it was owned by Ozarka at that time. And I'm like... Then I moved to Golden Chick and got a call from the head of marketing at the Rangers, and he was two words into his sentence. Would Golden Chick be interested? And I said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, you don't even know what it costs. I go, I know what it costs. I've already been down that path. And so let's do it. And it's been a great fit for us. And so, you know, we actually have a location in the ballpark. We're a huge sponsor of them. You know, got to go on that wonderful ride last year with the World Series, and even this year it was awesome. And so we love our relationship. We're about to re-up our relationship with them for an extended time. We're committed to that and continuing to support the Rangers. And then this whole your podcast was just really intriguing to us, number one, because who you appeal to, who I think Golden Chick appeals to in terms of being a great meal solution. So it was just a good fit. We knew Julie from first being a huge fan of hers when she was with The Ticket.
Oh, thank
you. And then when I heard she was jumping over to The Freak, we were one of the first people that jumped on with that. So
yeah, well, I appreciate it. And y'all were such a great supporter over at The Freak, and y'all were always bringing food, and everybody over there loved you. And then, you know, we just thought, well, why not tell you about the Mom Game?
Right.
And it's been fun. It's been great working with you. It's been fun. I know for me personally, just to have more time to really lean into my passion project, you know, mm-hmm. and Emily and I both have spent a lot of time in this industry and kind of know now what we think people want to hear about and what we want to talk about and hopefully what partners and advertisers, you know, want to be a part of.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to build here on the Mom Game. And y'all are a big part of that, and we really appreciate it.
Well, we thank that. That's, yeah. Y'all's content is awesome. I listen to podcasts a lot, but I love your stuff. And so, yeah, we're delighted to be partners with you.
Great. Well, and you said, like, you know, the people that listen, we think are the people that would go to Golden Chick because I love it personally. And like I say a lot of times when we're talking about it here on the show, you guys are everywhere, first of all, and your menu is so vast. So
right.
many things on the menu that you can really please like a car full of people. You could have grandparents, you could have the parents, you could have the kids of all ages, teenagers, and then little kids. You have the ice cream even inside when you go inside.
Right.
You get the free soft serve. Like, how, I guess, do you, I know I'm sure that is not by accident that you guys set yourself apart from the others. Was that part of the plan? And how do you feel like you are different from the others?
Well, that's a great setup. There's a lot of chicken places out there, okay? And there's a lot of huge chains that I have to compete with on a day-to-day basis, the big brands out there. But we try to separate ourselves. We have the normal fried chicken stuff. We have great tenders. But we really focus on trying to be that handcrafted solution. But we also have a lot of things that nobody else does. We have roasted chicken. We have fresh baked yeast rolls. We do everything by hand.
Oh my gosh, the rolls are so good.
The rolls are cracked.
She already peeked in
the
here.
Rolls are cracked.
Yeah.
I brought rolls. I brought wings.
So
you know, I brought churros that we're doing. You know, the other thing that separates us is because we are Dallas-based, we try to be very community-focused. So we have 230 restaurants around Texas, Oklahoma, and growing in Louisiana right now, and a few in Mississippi, and one in Florida. But Texas is our home base. But even that said, what makes us different is that we're very store-by-store, locally focused. Like our churros promotion that we're doing right now is all about giving back to local schools, and not just to some nebulous charity, but every single store, we support the closest elementary schools around each. So these charity donations, you buy churros, money goes back to the local school, closest school to each store. So that resonates whether you're in, you know, Hillsboro or Corsicana or Paris, much like, or Dallas, we're supporting those local schools. And I think that's what sets us apart, is that we're very community focused.
Yeah.
And how do you guys come up with the ideas for these local initiatives? Because like you said, that it's not, I mean, and you have a relationship also with the Do It for Durrett Foundation. Y'all have supported that in years past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes such a big difference to separate yourself from the big guys, to show that you're doing things differently, and that, you know, that those relationships are important, that it's not just about slinging chicken.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I think that's what differentiates you, and that's how you solidify relationships with your community, is that you're not just donating to the normal charities, or some don't even do to any charities.
Sure.
Is that we stay locally focused, and that it's definitely benefiting, you know, your trade area. It's benefiting your kids around every school, and not just going to some donation that, you know, charities are great, and there's a million people out there with wonderful charities, but, you know, how do we support in a way where it will resonate for our communities? Is let's support our communities. And that means every single micro community gets supported, which is unique. I don't think anybody else does it out there like we do. You know, and when you're a little brand like we are, fighting for a share of voice and competing with the big brands out there, we have to be different. You know, I think our menu separates us, makes us different. But, you know, you're still, like I said, I lived in Dallas for 30 years and never went to a Golden Chick. I would drive by them, but I never went there. There's too many other choices. So you have to really work to, you know, really focus on customer by customer, community by community, PTAs and local teacher organizations and
sure.
having spirit nights and getting really, really involved down to the micro level. You know, I think that's what one of the things that really helps us grow.
Yeah. Is that easier in smaller communities? I think of where I grew up in Plainview. You know, it's a tiny right. little town. Is it easier to do in the smaller communities than it is in a big metroplex like DFW?
That's a good question. It's easier from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
But really, when you look at how you market, like we just did a spirit night last week for a local magnet school in Richardson, and we had a huge turnout. We had like 200 kids out there. Yeah, and a lot of those people had said, I didn't know there was even a Golden Chick here, and it's been there for 30 years.
Sure.
So, you know, I think it's easier when you're in a small community like some of the towns we're in, just from a, you know, you can just pull a trigger and run an ad or something. But when you do like local store marketing where you're really focusing on customer by customer interaction, I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
And why was it important, I guess, for you guys to be involved in sports? Because sports in DFW is, I mean, to me, it's the heartbeat of the whole yes. city, right?
Yep.
And I know that's something that you guys feel is important as well.
Well, and we carefully picked who the right partner for us is, which is, I think, the Rangers mm-hmm. is perfect. It has that right hometown feel. It's got a great demographic approach that's very broad. You know, it's not as, maybe not as fancy as the Cowboys or the Rangers or the Mavs, but the Rangers are Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, they are Dallas and Fort Worth to capture the whole regional feel, and I think it has that right feel for us. You know, our restaurant in the ballpark is perfect. It's the fastest turn restaurant brand in all, you know, of venues of all the restaurants in Globe Life Field. We're the fastest, and mm-hmm. I think that you know, that builds relationships as well.
Yeah.
And then sponsoring the Dot Race is just cool. The Dot Race is just, it's kind of goofy. It's yeah. awesome the way they produce it. People love it. They just stop down. Like everybody watches the first inning and then they watch, you know, mm-hmm. ninth inning if you have people on base, but they love the Dot Race.
They'll it is a huge, it doesn't matter what the score is of the game, who's nope. playing, it's everybody right. pays attention.
Have you yep. ever
and
the, been
and the,
in there?
Those famous words of Chuck Morgan, no wagering, please.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, my kids have participated in the Dot, I don't think Hattie has, but Henry has, the kid Dot Race, like the mini Dot Race.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole thing.
It's fun.
It's part of the culture of the Rangers and part of that quaintness and probably like you said that marriage between the Rangers and Golden Chick is what kind of makes it great is there's that quaintness and the you know that down home mm-hmm. vibe that the Rangers have that they're still doing stuff like
right.
you know the Dot Race and not everything is you know perfectly choreographed like it might be across the street.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they have the right hometown feel and the promotions they have and everything they do. Everybody over at the Rangers is really solid people. So we love that association. We love working with them and we want to continue it for a long time.
Yeah.
Have you been in the Dot Race?
I have not participated. I've asked, but Chuck Morgan, who runs that, is yeah. he owns that. He's very, very tight on how they do that.
Oh, really?
But we actually have our
tryout.
Scott out there sometimes racing with the Dots. But, you know, Chuck manages that very tightly.
Oh. Yeah.
But
Chuck doesn't play with the Dot Race.
No.
I'd love to do that sometime. I wonder if Chuck would let me Dot Race.
I bet he would.
We need to do a celebrity Dot Race.
I've never done one. You know what's funny is a lot of the, like, Mitch Garver's wife, remember Sarah Garver?
Yeah.
She did it.
Like, she did?
Yeah. Apparently every team Mitch has been with, like, she
That's
does whatever, like, some kind of bit within that team. And she did the Dot Race.
That's amazing.
1 year. It was,
Chuck's like, yeah, we should pitch it. We can get. Okay. We could do,
maybe the three of us. The yeah. three of us could race against yeah. each other. Gloves
going
would
down.
Come off. Yeah. Let me just tell you.
I don't know.
The
I don't
competitiveness
know. Somebody's going
in me.
Down.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
I think I want to be.
Yeah.
All right.
And then finally, for me, you've been around marketing for a while now. It's evolved dramatically since your time starting out.
Shoot.
Yeah. It's same as you know, same as all of us in the professional world. Regardless, some professions and industries have changed more drastically than others. marketing has got to be, you know, high on that list. I mean, I think about when you said you can't just do CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox. When I started in television, that was basically, it was those four networks.
Radio, billboards, yep. TV, right? It was pretty
or,
simple.
Or
right?
If you wanted to get a job in TV, maybe there was a regional network that was just starting out, or ESPN, national mm-hmm. networks, you know, whatever. Now there's so many more avenues. There's so many more opportunities. How do you see... Do you feel like we've kind of hit a peak as far as marketing is concerned and all these avenues and channels, or do you think they're just going to keep growing?
It's just going to get more complex,
yeah,
and more micro marketing. It's really, the way I manage it is I brought on a great team. Shelby Shipley manages really all of our PR and our social and our digital. And Sharon on my team, who I just onboarded in the last year, really has got her finger on the pulse on a lot of the changing media. We have a fantastic ad agency, the Loomis Agency, that really helps us dial down. And our media plans are extremely complex. They used to just be, as you said, there's three line items. Here's the radio line. Mm-hmm. Here's the TV line. Here's the billboard line. Now it's like 30 lines. Okay. And you have to get down into the micro part of it. It's a lot more complex, but I actually think it's more exciting. It's just harder to measure.
Yeah.
You know, before you could just run a TV spot and you saw your sales go up. Now you have to plug in a lot of different things to make that happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the food real quick, because you brought a bunch of food. And I know you guys have recently won some awards, if you want to shout those out.
I love talking about awards. Because
that's a pretty big deal.
So we just won Best Wings, Best Tenders, Best Chicken,
Best
Dallas
Roll.
Morning News. And Fort Worth Star Telegram.
Rolls are so good.
You know, which is pretty cool,
best
right?
Best chicken?
Yeah. Wow. Best chicken joint. Lots of different things. Best cheap eats. So what we brought for you is our famous yeast rolls. So we bake our yeast rolls throughout the whole day. So that's, we don't serve rolls out of a bag.
Uh-huh.
Okay, a lot of people do. So we bake those fresh all day. We also have our new lemon pepper wings, which is going to be around for a while. We have our wicked wings. I just brought you lemon pepper so you wouldn't burn you out today.
Yes.
Okay. And then we brought our churros. So our churros.
We've been wanting to try the churros.
Because we've been talking about the churros with the school give back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. And we always keep saying, like, we got to try the churros.
So last year when we did this, we did it with our funnel cake, which we do that promotion as well, which started back in 2020 during when we did our Fletcher's tie-in promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Fletcher's corn dogs. We did kind of a state fair themed promo, and that was hugely successful, but we've done it every year, so we thought we'd mix it up a little bit this year and do churros. So our average give back is somewhere between $500 to $700 per school that we're giving back around every single store. So my wife's a teacher, my daughter's a teacher, schools are underfunded, they really need this, right? And so if you're able to send a check for $500 or $700 to a school, It's a godsend to a lot of those schools, so they really do appreciate that relationship.
That's awesome.
Well, this is so fun. I'm going to dig into those churros in a minute, but I already did just in like the last 20 seconds woof down an entire yeast roll.
Eating and talking.
I know. Very multi-talented. Well, Howard, thank you so much for being with us. This was seriously a blast. We're so grateful for your partnership, not just now, but over the years, and your support of us and Golden Chick's support of us. And we kind of pride ourselves on those types of things, that we're not a traditional, you know, media outlet, but we do feel like that our audience, you know, trusts us to provide them with, you know, suggestions, recommendations, partners that we are aligned with. And we feel like Golden Chick is absolutely in that alignment.
Well, thank you. That's a great compliment. We feel the same way. We're proud of the association and feel like it's a great place for us. And we look forward to continuing it.
Well, thanks, Howard. Okay, we have to end the show as we always do. You have to throw up your peace signs and you look in your camera.
We've been doing this for almost 5 years. It'll
It'll be five years in March. Crazy.
Yep.
Every episode we've done this.
Okay.
We refuse to let it go. Or right. I refuse to let it go. Okay, so on the count of three,
we do a double peace
sign.
We say mom game out.
1, 2, 3.
Mom game out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.